Grace, peace, and mercy to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So Jeremiah today, I would like to point out that that is one of those readings where those of you who have been lectors in the past, this is one of those moments where I think you're thinking to yourself for just a moment, how thankful you are that you didn't have to read that. Right? There were some fun names in that one. So we've leapt forward in time from last week to this week. Last week you were in the book of Isaiah, and now we find ourselves with Jeremiah. And we don't just find ourselves in the book of Jeremiah, we find ourselves near the end of Jeremiah's time as a prophet, which also means we find ourselves near the end of the kingdom of Judah. To give you that little history lesson, some context that I like to do from time to time, remember that there was a point in time in which there was a united kingdom of Israel, just one single kingdom, and then it split. And frankly, it split over ego, because, you know, people. And then you had a northern kingdom of Israel, a southern kingdom of Judah, and then that northern kingdom collapsed. It was defeated. So Judah maintains itself for a while. And when we begin the gospel, when we begin the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah's time as a prophet, Israel is on his last, Judah is on his last legs. There's the hint that maybe there'll be a turnaround when he starts. Maybe the people will listen. Maybe this new king will be one who will be effective. He's not. Everything falls apart. And by the time the book of Jeremiah is done, the kingdom of Judah has been defeated and destroyed by Babylon. The city of Jerusalem has been destroyed. Jeremiah is not a happy book. And yet Jeremiah is also a book about hope. I was telling folks at the Bible study last week on Thursday, I was telling them there that the book of Jeremiah is frequently used in traditionally African-American congregations. Jeremiah is very popular in the African Methodist Episcopal community, very possible with a lot of Foursquare congregations. Very popular with a thing called liberation theology. And the reason for that is because Jeremiah, despite taking place in this time of angst, in this time of fear, this time in which everything seems to be falling apart, there's still this promise that we heard today, actually, that I will make a new covenant. Did you catch those words in the reading today? And God says, I will make a new covenant with my people. This will not be a covenant that will be on scrolls. This will not be a covenant that is written down by human beings. This will not be a covenant that has to be passed down from generation to generation orally. This will be a covenant that is inscribed on the heart, that's etched in their bones, one that cannot be broken. For those of us who claim Christ, who claim to be followers of Jesus, I think we pretty clearly make a connection there. Is that fair to say? Today is Christ the King Sunday. I mentioned to the kids in the children's message that began after World War I. It began as this time in which people were realizing that there was this need to restart, to reboot, to rethink their relationship with their earthly and their heavenly kings, so to speak, and to put things in proper order. And I know that we are Lutherans, so we don't adhere to the words of the Pope, but it did start with the Pope. The Pope back then, not the current one. He isn't that old. His role, his hope with this was to help people to focus on their true calling, their true identity, their core identity. Because during World War I especially, there was this sense of national identity. There was this sense of a radical national identity to the point where nation was fighting nation really for no reason other than that they weren't the same. Germany and France and England and Serbia and Russia and Austria and Hungary, the Ottoman Empire before it collapses, Romania, Bulgaria. Millions of people die. I think a while back I shared with you, I remember in a message we talked about how horrible that war was. And yet in some ways to the 21st century hearer, it's almost a footnote, because just a few years later, it gets followed by an even worse sequel. And today on Christ the King Sunday, we remember that those rulers, those fallible human rulers, are not our true king, are not where our ultimate allegiance lies, are not where our ultimate identity lies. That's not where our true core self is. But just as that day is about focusing on who we are, today following worship, we're going to be taking an opportunity, as we said, to have this meeting about a budget. And I know that for some people this sounds so cheesy, and some people say, "Oh, Pastor Chris, you keep talking about this. It's just numbers." But it's not numbers. It is not about numbers. It is about values. It is about identity. It is about how we are called to be children of God. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The meeting today, as we discuss how we are going to use resources, how we are going to plan for this next year, thinking about what we want to accomplish, thinking about how God is working through us in this place, thinking about how we can be a more effective and vibrant and Christ-filled part of this community. It's not just about numbers. If it was just about numbers, we could send out an email and just sign off on it that way. Well, let's be honest, with our congregation, we also would need to send a postal thing, and for a couple people, probably a telegram. Phone tree, that's what we could do. It's not just about numbers. It is about the mission behind those numbers. It is about the calling behind those numbers. Amen? Oh, that was weak. You can do stronger than that. I know I haven't done that to you for a while, but come on. The way that we organize that stuff, the way that we decide to use those resources, the way that we think about where we are putting our energy, our time, and yes, I will use the word our money, says so much about how we see our calling as children of God. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. We're going to look at our new logo today. I'm excited to share it with you. There is amazing symbolism in that logo. But that logo is not just about having something to put on a sign that is pretty so people know where we are. It is about how we make a statement to the community about who we are and how we are, what we offer to this community. What do we offer to this community? We offer the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Today the promise of God was revealed by Jeremiah. Jeremiah speaks God's words to this king who doesn't want to hear him. Did you notice what the king did? He burned them. We have our first recorded book burning. I'm not kidding. The prophet's emissary speaks to the king. The king responds by cutting off each piece of the scroll, throwing it in the fire, as if that could somehow stop God. That's cute, really. You stop and think about it. That's adorable. Like, oh, King Jehoiakim, the King Jehoiakim, such a king with a long name starting with J. You really think that's going to stop him? Good luck with that. No wonder Judah's on verge of collapse. If their own king, who's supposed to be an emissary of God, responsible to the people of God, doesn't understand that that will accomplish nothing? It's adorable. But God says, I will make a new covenant. I will make a stronger covenant. I will make a covenant that is ingrained in the people's hearts, that is etched into their bones, that is a part of their soul. A covenant that even they cannot break, because we as human beings are good at that. We are good at falling down. I'm not pointing at you, Kathy, when I say that, but if you don't know, Kathy recently fell and broke her arm. We are good at falling down, spiritually. And God is good at picking us up. God is good, period. The new covenant, we are told, will be inclusive because it includes both Judah and Israel. Stop and think about how insane that is. Stop and think about how insane that is that God says those words through Jeremiah, because Israel doesn't exist. Think about that. When Jeremiah says these words, Israel doesn't exist. Israel's been gone for hundreds of years, defeated, crushed, destroyed. And Israel and Judah more or less hated each other by the time Israel collapsed. So the prophet to Judah says to the king of Judah that this covenant will not just be with your people, it will also be with Israel, because we are one people. Something to learn from that today. In a country where we all want to try and be divided after we had an election a couple weeks ago. And that covenant that God promises through Jeremiah is a covenant of law. And I don't say law in the sense of slap you on the wrist, lock you up kind of law. It's law versus chaos. Because remember, that is a theme throughout scriptures, this idea of God against chaos. We go back to Genesis, the creation story. What do we see in that creation story? We see God creating order out of chaos. And that is the covenant that is described today as a covenant of order, a covenant with structure, a covenant of hope. A covenant that is about relationship, because again, where is that covenant being inscribed? It's not a trick question, I promise. Remember that? What is that? Everyone say the word. Art. Say it louder. There you go. One more with energy. Thank you. That covenant will be inscribed on the people's hearts. It will be infallible, Jeremiah says. I mentioned the election a moment ago. I'm not going to talk about what you think I'm going to talk about. During that election 2 weeks ago, voters in this county, in this area, we passed that major transit thing, ST3. Expanding the light rail. At some point, you'll be able to take a train from Everett all the way to Tacoma. Some of you were thinking, I've been to Everett, I've been to Tacoma. Why would I do either of these things? I used to live in Tacoma, so that's why I'm making the joke. It's an amazing idea. I'm actually one of those people who's pretty excited about it, I'll be honest. But that part won't be done until around 2045. You got about 30 years before that's going to be seen fully. And I'll be honest with you, one or two of us in this room won't be around for that. And yet, here's the thing. Some of you are old enough to remember that 50 years ago or so, there was a chance to do something similar. In the late 60s, the same region, we voted down twice the idea of building something similar. The forward thrust movement. You remember that, some of you? We actually could have had this system 40-odd years ago. That money ended up going off to Atlanta instead. They said thank you. But that's okay. Because here's the thing. It was still the right thing to do, even if we're not all going to see it. Because it isn't always about what we as individuals get to experience. It is what the community experiences. It is about something bigger. Think about our congregation for a moment. That's the connection I want you to make. I cannot tell you right now exactly what the future of this congregation looks like. I can't. I don't know it. I'm experiencing it in real time, just like you. I don't know which of us will be here to see the new reality that will be this congregation going forward. I don't know what things we are going to try out that will bear fruit, or at least that will bear obvious fruit, and which things we will try out that we will say, well, we did that. Let's try something else. But I do know, as I have told you many, 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 many times before, and as I will continue to tell you, I do know that Bethel Lutheran Church, the people of this congregation, have been called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with this community. Amen?
Amen.
I know that we have been called to use the resources that we have been blessed with to build something lasting here, to build something that changes people's lives, to build something that helps people to connect to that covenant promise that God gave today. Amen?
Amen.
I know that we will be building something that will reflect the gospel. Gospel of hope, peace, joy, and love. Which, hey, coincidence, that's the thing we talk about during Advent. Maybe it's not a coincidence after all. And I do know that we have the resources and the relationships and the opportunity to carry out that call in Christ's name. We will not all see exactly what the future of this congregation looks like, but we will all be a part of building that future. And those who will see it will say thank you. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O good and gracious God, for giving us the opportunity to minister in this time and place. We give you thanks for the gifts that you have bestowed on us in which to do that ministry. Help us to keep our eye on you. Help us to be aware of your covenant promise and how we may share that with others. Help us to be a place of welcome, a place of hope and joy and peace and love. And we pray all of these things, trusting in your holy name. Amen.